to a blessed life. We're going through the Beatitudes. And so today we're on the fifth Beatitude. We're going to be talking about the ministry of mercy. So, Father, we just thank you today for the opportunity to open your word, Father God, to study and to look into your word, to glean insight, revelation, Father God, information that can help us not only to grow, but to help us be conformed to the image of Jesus so that we can be more like you, Father God, and we can go out and make a difference in the world in which we live. So we give you today, Father, the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." You know, this is a subject that, again, isn't talked a lot about in church, the whole ministry of mercy, but it is one of the key things we see in the ministry of Jesus. He operated in mercy. He was very merciful. Now, you know, a lot of people don't understand mercy. And what happens with a lot of folks is a lot of folks just begin to take this thing on mercy and think that that means everybody can just walk all over them. Because after all, I have to be merciful. And that's not really what the Bible's talking about at all. So we want to kind of clear up some things and jump into this and give you some understanding about mercy. Because the Bible says, blessed are the merciful. It says that God blesses, or we could say the word blessed, remember, means happy, fortunate, and to be envied. Amen? So those that are merciful are blessed. Those that are merciful will be happy, and those that are merciful are really enviable. So we want to be the kind of people that God calls merciful. Amen? And so it's important to study this. Now, we always often think that mercy simply just means that we forgive people that really don't deserve it. Right? And that's part of what mercy is. We think it might mean that, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, we help somebody who can't help themselves and we're being merciful, and that's some of it. But mercy is much bigger than that. Mercy is really multifaceted, and we want to take a good look at this today. First of all, I want to do this. I want to talk about what mercy is and then look at the difference just for a moment between compassion and between grace and mercy, because they're not the same. And a lot of times we clump them all together and make them the same. First of all, let me give you a definition of mercy. Mercy is kindness in excess of what may be expected or demanded by fairness. And give that to you again. It is kindness in excess of what may be expected or demanded by fairness. Really, what mercy is, you see it in operation through our Heavenly Father all the time. Mercy is what helps meet needs in people's lives. Amen? So when we think about the difference between mercy and grace, for instance, grace is simply this. Grace is God's willingness to use His power and His might on our behalf, even though we don't deserve it. That's what grace is. But mercy is different. See, grace, God's grace gives us what we don't deserve, while God's mercy doesn't give us what we do deserve. Amen? Compassion is God's desire of His heart to help. It's kind of an inward compelling. You see this in Jesus' ministry all the time, and you see where the Bible says things like this. He was moved with compassion, right? You see that in the ministry of Jesus all the time. So compassion is what feels the need, but mercy is what fills the need. So you see in Jesus's life, He operated in both. He would have compassion. See, a lot of people see something and say, oh, that's terrible. And their heart breaks over it, but they don't do anything about it. Right? So God asks us to operate in mercy, not only feel that need that you see, but do something about filling it. Because that's what mercy would do. All right? So let's talk about this a little bit. Why should I be merciful to other people? What's the point? Why do I need to be merciful? Well, number one, God has shown me mercy. Amen? The reason we ought to be merciful is because we needed some. Amen? If it wasn't for God's mercy, where in the world would any of us be today? Amen? We need His mercy just every single day of our life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which He loved us, even while we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Why have you been saved? Why did God's grace get extended to us? Why did God's compassion get extended to us? Because he's merciful. Amen. It's not because I deserved it. It's not because I earned it. It's because God loved me so much that he decided to overlook all the reasons why he shouldn't save me and said, I'm merciful. I'm going to show you mercy. Amen. Matthew 18:33 says, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you? This is the story about this guy who found a guy that owed him a ton of money. I mean a ton. And this guy fell down before him. He was getting ready to, the ruler was getting ready to throw this guy in jail because the guy couldn't pay his debt. And the guy falls down in front of this ruler and just says to him, please, please, I beg you, give me a little more time. I'll do everything I can to pay this debt off. Just please have a little mercy on me. And the ruler had mercy on him, said, you know what? I'm just going to cancel it all. Just forget the debt. Cancel the whole thing. Now, you would have thought if somebody would have looked at your debt, you know, the more you owe, the more it gets canceled, the more excited we'd be. If you owe a dollar and someone says, hey, forget it, okay, big deal. You owe $1 million and somebody says, forget it, you're going to be a little excited about that, right? You would think this guy would be excited. What does he do? He leaves that place. He goes, finds a guy that owes him a few bucks, grabs the guy by the throat, and he begins to shake him by the throat and tells him, hey, dude, you owe me this few bucks. I want you to pay up now. And the guy says the same thing to him. Please have a little mercy on me. I can't do it right now, but I'll do everything I can. I promise I'll pay my debt. And this guy says, you know what? I don't trust you. Took this guy and threw the guy in jail. Well, when the other guy heard what he did, the guy that forgave his debt, called him back and said, hey, buddy, come back here. Now, listen, I showed you great mercy. Don't you think that you should at least have showed some great mercy to that guy that owed you some money, done the same thing I did for you to him? And he says, and because you haven't, you're going to pay the debt now in jail. And he threw him in jail, right? And I think sometimes that's like us. Man, we owed a debt we could have no way ever paid. So God said, don't worry about it. I'm sending Jesus. I'm going to take care of it for you, right? God canceled out our debt completely. And yet, we have somebody that'll do a little thing here to us or say a word here to there to us, whatever, and we'll hold that over their head. We won't forgive them. We'll walk in all kinds of bitterness. We won't have any kind of mercy at all. And I wonder what the Father thinks about that. Amen? I believe he's saying the same thing this other guy said. Hey, I showed you a lot of mercy. Don't you think you should have shown a little mercy yourself? And I hope that this week that'll ring true in our minds as we think about this story. Amen. Secondly, God commands me to be merciful. It's not that he's just saying, don't you think you should be? He's commanding us to be merciful. It says in Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. What does God require of us? He wants us to treat others right. He wants us to love being merciful to others. And he wants us to live humbly before others. And he says, I'm requiring this of every one of you. No excuses now, right? We can't go to heaven and get up there and God says, hey, what happened to mercy? I didn't know. That's what happens when you come to church. You learn things. Now you're responsible, right? That doesn't mean you should stay home, right? All right. Number three. I'm going to need mercy in the future. Not only did I need mercy to get saved, but, you know, I know Ralph. I know Ralph really well. And Ralph's going to need mercy before this day is out, I guarantee you. Amen. I might already need some now. But I'm not a perfect guy, man. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to do things that I'm going to have to say, you know, forgive me. I'm sorry. Give me a little mercy here. I know I don't deserve it. But give it to me, please, I pray. And because we need mercy every day, we need to be merciful. Amen. It says in James chapter 2, verse 13, for judgment is without mercy, listen to this, to the one who has shown no mercy. But I like this last part. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen? So you know what he's saying? If I will show some mercy, I'm going to stave off some judgment. Yeah. But if I'm not merciful, judgment's coming my way. Again, I've lived long enough to realize that I don't like judgment. I don't know about you guys. When judgment comes, I just not jumping up and down saying, hallelujah, glory to God, a judgment's coming my way today. No, man, I want mercy. I'm falling on my face like that guy before that other guy that owed so much debt. I'm falling on my face saying, please, please, a little mercy. And because God is a God of love, he says, weren't you just here 10 minutes ago asking for mercy? He's not going to say that to you. He said, okay, I love you, so I'm going to give you a little more. Amen? Wow. Why else? Because showing mercy produces happiness. Absolutely. Merciful people are happy people. Yeah. Absolutely. In fact, we said earlier that the word blessed, one of the definitions of the word blessed is happy. Right? And so God says, happy are the merciful. So what does he say? Proverbs 14:21. He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Have you ever done that? You know, found some guy that really was in need and you just felt prompted in your heart, I got to help this guy out, you know. I don't even know who he is, a perfect stranger, but you know I'm going to help him out anyway. And you go and you give a little help to the guy, and when you leave, you walk away, you feel good. You feel blessed that you are able to help make a difference in somebody's life, right? Proverbs 11:17, the merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. This is what the Living Bible says. Your own soul is nourished when you show mercy. Man, it just does something for you when you're merciful. Amen? So those are some reasons why we need to be merciful. So how in the world can I be merciful? What does it mean? How do I show mercy? Let's talk about that. Number one, be patient with people's quirks. Husbands, wives, look at each other and smile, but don't elbow. Just smile. We all have quirks. Amen? Some people call them idiosyncrasies. I am loaded with them. You hang around me very long and you realize I got all kinds of idiosyncrasies, right? And it's funny because a lot of times when we fall in love with somebody, those idiosyncrasies are kind of cute and they kind of what we fall in love with. After we're married for a while, they're the things that drive us absolutely crazy. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. And so what mercy does is mercy is really patient with people's peculiarities and with their mannerisms and their irritating little habits. That's what mercy. Mercy extends grace there. Amen? Mercy overlooks a lot of that stuff. So, you see, instead of letting those things get you angry, extend mercy. Now, the guy on the mercy side, you're the one with the idiosyncrasy. On the mercy side doesn't mean that, see, I get mercy, man. I don't have to change. I just deserve mercy. Keep giving it to me, and I'm going to keep irritating you. But you got to give me mercy. No, no, no. The guy getting mercy needs to make some changes. All right? All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, New Living Translation. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. It's the only way relationships are ever going to survive. If we learn to make allowances for one another, when we start expecting perfectionism from people, I always say just look in the mirror, right? And then you have to throw perfectionism out because you're not perfect. Amen? And so if you're going to expect that from others, you better be that way first. And since none of us are, I can't expect that from anybody else. Amen? So we got to cut people some slack. Give people a break. Amen? If you're going to be merciful. Say, well, where am I going to get the wisdom how to do that? Well, James gives us that. We studied James in our last series. But James says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So when you pray and you ask for wisdom, God gives you wisdom, and the wisdom God gives you is full of mercy. He's not giving you wisdom so that you can be critical and find out what people's traits are. It's so that you can give mercy in those areas. Amen. All right, let's try something else. That one didn't go over that well. Number two. This one may not help either. Help anyone hurting around you. If you want to be a merciful person, you need to start looking around you. This is what I heard someone say one time. If you care, you'll be aware. If you care, you'll be aware. So you see, a merciful person is looking for ways to show mercy. Some of us get so caught up, we put our little blinders on and we go about our business during the day. You know, if you're kind of like me, more of a driven person, you really live life with blinders on. You don't really notice the superficial things, or I should say the peripheral things around you. And sometimes you're walking around and there's people hurting you all around, but my task is more important than touching them. And I think it's important for us to stop, take a deep breath. And, you know, someone says, hey, stop and smell the roses. Well, I think we need to stop for a moment and look around and see, are there hurting people that I'm working with today? Are there hurting people that came to church today? Are there hurting people around me? Because if you look, you'll see that there's all kinds of people who are hurting. Amen? So Proverbs says this. It says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Amen? Let me just say that it's important when we realize that we have the ability to do something wrong. We don't do it to us, that'll be sin. So we need to look around and we need to be merciful to the people around us. Amen? It says in Romans 12, verse 8, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Just smile. Right? That means I'm going to show mercy today. It's not, again, Lord, I showed mercy yesterday. Come on now. I'm ready for some judgment now, Lord. Enough mercy, a little bit of judgment, right? Sometimes we think that way. But the fact is, God says, when you show mercy, you don't do it grudgingly. You do it cheerfully. Amen? I know it's a tall order, but it's what God expects from us. Number three, give people a second chance. You know, when somebody hurts us, somebody offends us, our natural inclination is to either write them off or get back at them, you know? We don't really want to give people second chances. We don't want to give people another opportunity. Now, I do need to say this. There are people that have been in abusive situations that think that mercy means that I just invite the abuser back into the house again. That's not what mercy means. I can be merciful to you. I can give you a second chance, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to put some boundaries on that second chance. That doesn't mean I'm not going to make you have to hold up to some things, be accountable. Prove yourself trustworthy. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. That's not being a lack of love or a lack of mercy. You know, there's a line between being stupid and merciful. Amen? You don't want to do that. You don't need to open the door to abuse in your life. You need to be merciful. I forgive them. I'm going to give them another chance. But here's how you're going to get another chance. You're going to go to anger management counseling. You're going to get a mentor in your life that's going to help hold you accountable. We're going to start the process slowly. You're not going to move right back in again. We're going to give you an opportunity to prove that what you're doing, you've got this anger thing under control. The way I'm going to see it, you never know until you see them in an anger environment. So you're going to have to give time for that. Eventually that time will come around and you'll see. Amen. We have to be smart about these things. I believe God wants us to use wisdom, and it can still be full of mercy. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through 32, it says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." So we need to operate in mercy, but again, use wisdom. All right? Then, number 5, be kind to those who offend you. Be kind to those that offend you. I don't know if you've noticed this. We kind of talked a little bit about this in our discipleship class today, but I don't know if you've noticed this, but it seems like in the world today, there is more and more anti-Christian slogans and anti-Christian behavior than there ever has been. You know, we, especially in America, we used to live here without a lot of that. But now that's really increasing and growing. You're seeing a lot more of that. And there is a reason for that, and that reason is simply this. As a believer, you and I, we have to develop a biblical worldview, which we build on God's Word, and God's Word we consider to be the truth, and it never changes. Worldviews are cultural, and a worldview changes with culture, but a biblical worldview never changes. It's always the same. So you can get, let's say, back in the 1950s, you know, you had non-Christians and Christians, and their value systems were pretty much the same. But now there's a huge gap between the two. And one of the big barriers that you're facing today, if you're persecuted by people, it's because you refuse to compromise. Amen. You refuse to say, no, I'm going to just give in this one little area because, you know, after all, I want to share God's love with you. God's love does not require you to compromise what he said is the truth. Amen. We have to be able to stand on that. Just like, you know, I think Johnny was saying this morning, so he's starting to preach my message. But, you know, really, Jesus said it's better for us to obey God rather than man. Amen? I don't want to obey some man's rule. I got to obey God's, what God said, God's authority in my life. So with that in mind, we need to remember, though, people can offend us. People can do things against us. But that does not give us any right to not be merciful and forgiving. 1 Timothy 1:13 and then verse 16. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 16. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. So here's Paul saying, man, I tell you what, you talk about a nasty character, that was me in the eyes of God. Here I think I'm doing all the right things, right? I think the church really is wrong, so I'm persecuting it because of my love for God. But then God, in his long-suffering or in his mercy, reaches out to me, this guy who's a murderer, this guy who's imprisoning God's people and making life miserable. God reaches out to me and he says, here's what I want you to see. He says, my life, I went through all that, not in vain. I went through all that to show you how merciful God is. No matter what you've been through, God's merciful. He loves you and he'll reach out to you no matter what you've done. Just look at my life, he said. See how God was merciful to me. Amen. Jude chapter 1, verse 22 through 23 says, show mercy toward those who have doubts. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. And to others, show mercy mixed with fear. But hate their very clothes stained by their sinful lusts. I don't have to say, I agree with what you're doing. I don't have to agree with your lifestyle. I don't have to agree with the evil that you're doing. I don't even have to agree with the fact that you offended me. But the fact of the matter is, in all of it, you did hurt me, but I'm going to have mercy on you anyway. Amen? I'm going to have mercy on you anyway. So important. All right, and then number 6, build bridges of love to the unpopular. This is a big one, in my mind anyway. If we want to be merciful people, we all know people around us, whether on your job, in your neighborhood, in your family, whatever, that they're the ones that nobody likes. They're the ones that nobody wants to be around. They're just not popular, right? They're the ones that always get kind of pushed over to the side. If you really want to be a merciful person, then you intentionally look for those people and reach out to those people and love those people. Show them mercy. If you ever were one of those people, you know what I'm talking about. Amen? If you ever were a person that just kind of got pushed aside, you know, time to pick the basketball team and, you know, everybody's picked and you're the only one left and they're having to flip a coin as to whether or not they're going to take you or not, right? If you went through something like that, then let me just say to you, you know what it means to have someone extend some mercy. Amen? I remember one time when I was a kid and I didn't know any of this stuff, but somebody didn't know very much, picked me to be the captain of the basketball team. So I said, okay, And so it was time to pick teams. And I said, you know what? I'm going to shock everybody. I'm going to pick the guy that nobody wants. The first guy picked was the guy that nobody wanted. And everybody's, giving you all this flack for picking this guy, right? Turns out that that guy could make a basket anywhere from long distance. Nobody ever knew because nobody ever picked him. I didn't know that about him. But, man, we just throw out the ball, and wherever we were on the court, everybody's up. It's like shooting three-pointers all day long. This guy was hitting baskets all over the place, right? And all of a sudden, I went from the guy that was being frowned on to the guy, man, that's a wise choice. This guy went from the guy that nobody liked to very popular. You don't even know what's in some people who get pushed aside all the time because nobody wants to deal with them, right? Now, I'm not saying they don't have done some things to maybe cause that. But nonetheless, if we don't show mercy, who will? If God's people aren't willing to show mercy, who will? We have to be of those people. Amen? In Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13, it says this. This is how Jesus behaved. He said, "Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' And when Jesus heard that, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Amen. Jesus is sitting with all the riffraff, right? And the Pharisees, the religious people, are saying, "What are you doing? Do you know what that makes you look like?" Right? And people might be saying that about you. "Don't you know what that looks like? You're hanging around with that guy. Don't you know who he is? Don't you know what they did?" I do. But they're the ones that need help. Right? Maybe they did bad things. That's okay. They still need help. Somebody needs to love them because God does. We have to be merciful. Number 7. Value relationships over rules. This is another big one. If you're a rule keeper, then this is going to rub you the wrong way, right? If you're kind of like me, wait a minute. That's what it said right there, right? And we just kind of say, "Hey, I don't see gray here. It's black or white, man. That's it, right? And no mercy, no gray." No. You got to be able to extend mercy. See, because there's a lot of hurting people in the world today. And let me just tell you what. We have to get to a place where our policies are not going to prevent us from showing mercy. Amen? We've got to really put our relationships above our rules. And we have to really decide to love instead of walk in the law. Now, that's a stretch for some of us, right? Some people, mercy is just a gift that you just were born with, amen? And you're just merciful about everything. And us rule keepers, we're looking, man, what is wrong with that person, right? But We need to realize that the day is going to come when we, as a rule keeper, are going to want God to bend the rules for us a little bit. Amen? And we're going to be really thankful when he does. Right? And so we just need to get to that place realizing that, man, God didn't have to forgive me, but he did anyway. And that although, you know, it would be better if you just dot the I's and cross the T's, but you know what? Let's at least start with just dotting the I's and we'll forget the T's for right now. We've got to show mercy wherever you're at. You're going to have to show some mercy. Jesus was with his disciples one day, and they're out in the fields, and it was the Sabbath, and they were hungry, and so they started picking some grain and eating the grain, and of course, I don't know how the religious leaders are always around. It's like they're always following them or something to wait. They're bound. The rule keepers, they do that, you know. You're bound to make a mistake somewhere. I'm going to follow you. And the moment you make that mistake, I'm going to catch you. And that makes their day, right? And so it's like they're out in the fields. What are the religious guys doing out there on the Sabbath? Why aren't you at the temple? Right? But anyway, they're on the Sabbath and they pick some grain. And immediately they call Jesus on the carpet about it. And Jesus said, man, these guys are hungry. What is your problem? He said, don't you know who I am? I am the Lord of the Sabbath. It is not about rules. Well, you only can worship God on Saturday. That's the Sabbath. It's not about rules. It's about love. It's about who is it that, you know, there's a need here. These guys are hungry, and I know it's the Sabbath, but you know what? They need to eat. It's okay. And you got the scripture reference there. You can read about it, Matthew 12, 1 through 8. You know, the Bible says in Romans 13, 10, love does not harm, does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So, you know, we're not going to intentionally try to hurt somebody. We're not going to do that. And if we even did it unintentionally, mercy still reaches out. So we've got to get to a place in our life where we kind of give everybody that massive break that they need. Amen. I'm telling you, over the last few years of my life, I've been learning more and more about, you know. You see, I come out, I got to give you my background a little bit. I come out of a policies and procedures world, right? You know, you got to have them, you know. You work in business, you're the manager, you got to have policies and procedures. And I don't think policies and procedures are wrong. I think they're great. I think you need to have them. But at the same time, you need to look at the heart in policies and procedures. And you need to look at the individual. And I've found over the years, you can't enforce everything exactly the same because circumstances are different. Amen? So you got to be able to bend a little, you know? You got to be able to give a little. Now, I'm not saying change the policy for an individual, but at the same time, give a little grace. Give a little mercy, right? I mean, we're getting ready. It's been if Robert, you're watching on TV, you need to finish reviewing that. But I got some policies and procedures that I want to put in place here in the church. Yeah, just good for business. You know, we're not just a preach on Sunday. We also are a business. And we got to have some policies and procedures in place. Why? So that the people that serve here, they know what's required of them. You know? So we just need to put some things in place. So Robert's got them on his desk and or in his computer, and he's reviewing them for me. So he's my mercy balance, you know. So when I get over into too much law, he goes, what are you doing here? Okay, all right, back off a little bit, okay? So we try to keep a balance, but at the same time, you know, you got to have some kind of a platform to work from. But that doesn't mean we don't operate in mercy too, all right? So, you know, you can't just be all law. Show a little love. Father God, we just want to thank you today for your word. We're really grateful that your grace and your mercy have been extended towards us because we'd be almost miserable without it. But we're thankful that you did love us enough to really send Jesus to die for us so that we can be saved, Father God, and have a life with you forever in heaven. And we're grateful for that, Father God. And while we're here on the earth, we're asking to you help us to look at our life and look at those around us. And Father, where we're not been merciful, help us to be merciful so that we can become the happy people you called us to be. And we just want to give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.